States after scaling a border wall with her family and giving birth within 24 hours. This move is reigniting the debate surrounding anchor babies and birthright citizenship. Linda Vega is an immigration attorney. She joins Fox News and says what's next regarding this woman's plea for asylum.
If she's found not to be credible, she then goes before an immigration judge to determine whether she's credible to remain in the United States. But even if she's determined credible, that could take months or years until they possibly get to her case.
Police are continuing to investigate a bomb threat at the Manhattan building that houses CNN. The news headquarters was evacuated while anchor Don Lemon was on the air.
I'm waiting to get the all clear to be able to go back up, if possible, to my studio.
A man claimed five bombs were planted at the Time Warner Center, although no bombs were found. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you could start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
President George H.W. Bush was laid to rest on Thursday as a special funeral train took his remains to their final resting place on the grounds of his presidential library and museum in College Station, Texas. Meanwhile, one of the most talked about images of the week was former Senator Bob Dole saluting the casket of former President George H.W. Bush. Dole tells Fox News how that whole special moment came about.
I came to the rotunda just to say goodbye, to wheel up the casket and maybe stand up. And so I did that with no thought of saluting. And they got me up and stood me up, and it was almost automatic. My left hand went up to my forehead.
President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump were joined by eight Holocaust survivors in the East Room of the White House in Washington to celebrate Hanukkah. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Mr. Trump said more than 2,000 years ago, a band of Jewish patriots reclaimed their freedom from an oppressive dictator as they prepared to rededicate the temple by lighting a lamp. He called what happened next an everlasting symbol of Jewish perseverance.
They found only enough oil to light the lamp for a single night. But despite this, the lamp burned brightly for eight nights, an everlasting symbol of Jewish perseverance.
I'm John Clemens.
Please remember, you can always check us out online at usaradio.com. Got a brand new website up. Also, Facebook, check us out at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and enhancing your
company. USA
Today,
Radio News.
Join me on Tech
Bill
Today
Barr will be nominated for the United States Attorney General position.
Hi, let's try that again. I don't know why two things were playing at once. We'll try this again, and then I'll give you the weather.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, let's now talk about the weather. It looks like it's really going to be a nice weekend and into Tuesday. Cold, 18 degrees as predicted, but mostly clear. By tomorrow, it should be, we should have a high of about 35 degrees and mostly sunny. And it's the mostly sunny that we look forward to at this time of year because it will really warm things up or at least make it feel not as cold. So by tomorrow night, again, mostly clear, low of about 20 degrees. By Sunday, we should reach a high of about 39 degrees and mostly sunny. So it'll be a great day for, parades. Tonight, of course, the parade in Clinton. And that might be getting a little bit cold, but it's always a fun parade for everyone to watch. And then on Sunday, we have the parade here in Hunterdon County. By Sunday night, again, mostly cloudy. So we have a clear tomorrow night. Sunday night, mostly cloudy. But again, a low of about 22 degrees. By Monday, mostly sunny, high of about 41 degrees. So that's going to be the warmest day in the next few days. By Monday night, it will be mostly clear, but again, low of about 21 degrees. By Tuesday, should be, the prediction is sunny, high of about 38 degrees. So probably can't go beyond that to figure out, the weather. They can't predict, hopefully these predictions will be good, and in fact, hopefully it will be even a little warmer. So we'll be back with the sports guys after providing you with a few spots from our sponsors.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a...
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of...
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know...
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, I guess it's the sports guys, but only one today. Hopefully both John will get here, and I know that Bill just tried to talk to him, and he indicated that, unfortunately, he's still with a client. So I'm Pat Smits, and those of you who know me know that I am a diehard Packer fan. Frankly, I was really hoping to speak with Bill, because this is a big game. Bill is, of course, an Eagles fan, and they're going to be playing the Cowboys. So the Cowboy, the Cowboy game, Cowboy-Eagle game is going to be, in this area, probably the big game of the week, although my thoughts, and I'll talk more about what's happened to my Green Bay Packers, but... I think that a very important game, as far as I'm concerned, this week will be the game between the Chicago Bears and the Rams. I think that the Treblinski, apparently they expect him to be back, even though he had a shoulder injury, and they expect him to play. And, of course, the Bears are... leading, the division, the NFC North, and looks like they really look good. I mean, I can't say that they didn't. I know they lost the first game against the Packers. They could have won that game. It certainly gave us a lot of hope at the beginning of the season, but needless to say, that hope has been totally dashed with what happened, on Sunday, this last Sunday, and even in the week before. We just the Packers are just not going to be able to do anything. The Packers, the real loss when they. The loss against the, Minnesota on the 26th, that was, at that point, Minnesota was 5-4-1. Packers were 4-5-1. So that was an absolute, in my view, that was a must-win game, and it didn't happen. That, to me, was pretty much the end of the Packers season, and it looked, especially because the Chicago was 8-3 at that time, the Bears won last week against Minnesota, meaning that week. The Bears had won against Minnesota, so they were 8-3 instead of 7-4. But Minnesota was still a game ahead of the Packers, and then they had to play the Packers, and, of course, they won that game. So that was real, you know, really real disappointment. And of course, this last Sunday capped it for the. If they can't win against a team that was 2-9, and that's what happened. So that I guess the biggest news around was the fact that Green Bay, the head coach, the Packers coach Mike McCarthy, was fired, and the offensive coordinator Joe Philbin was named the interim coach. I think the, of course, that move was announced by the team president Mark Murphy, and of course that was. After the stunning, and it was stunning, 2017 loss on Sunday, meaning last Sunday, to the Arizona Cardinals. And so at that point, Green Bay was, they were 4-7-1, because after Minnesota, they were 4-6, and after the Minnesota game, they were 4-6-1. But, you know, it just, you know, they didn't look good. And, of course, the Arizona Cardinals came into that game. Unless I'm wrong, it was seemed to me that I think the Arizona had, they were a 2-9 team before they played the Packers. So that was, you know, I think people were expecting that Mike Murphy wouldn't make it another year. But I think it was pretty... surprising to most Packer fans that Mike McCarthy was fired during the season. As I recall, that's only happened one other time in Packer history, and I was trying to think of who that was. I guess I should have went online and looked, but I think you can, you know, I'm pretty sure that it was, and I don't even think Scooter McLean was fired during the season, and he was, I mean, believe me, he was there for 1 year, and he was, you know, needless to say, the real concern is going back and, you know, what's going to happen now. So there's even some questions, I guess, if the defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, will be with the Packers next year. I think that would be his decision, not the Packers, because he's been, I think, well-liked, and they felt that he's done a good job, you know, after taking over for Capers. Dom Capers was there for years, and, of course, so was McCarthy. And the rest of the season for the Packers, you know, it's they play Atlanta, the Falcons this week. The Atlanta, of course, is a 4-8 team, and they're fourth in the NFC South. Packers, you know, with their 4-7-1, you know, they're third in the, you know, but they basically have the same record, because 4-7, and then, of course, the tie with Minnesota. And then the Packers go on the road for the play Chicago on the 16th in Chicago, always a tough game. And, of course, this year they have not yet won a game on the road. And after they play the Chicago, then they come out to New Jersey to play the Jets on the 23rd of December. The way both of those teams are looking, it'll be interesting to see how many people are in the stands. I think I'd still go to the game if somebody gave me the ticket. You know, I'm diehard, so if I had season tickets, I'd still be there. But the game, you know, it's a nothing game, and it's 2 days before Christmas. So it would be a tough game to go to anyway, based on, for most of us, based on what we all have to do for Christmas. Unless we're finished with Hanukkah, then I guess it's, you know, that would be something to do on the 23rd. But predictably, it'll be cold, you know, probably a lackluster game, although maybe either one of the teams will want one last hurrah. And then, of course, the last game of the Packers season is played against the Lions on the 30th of December. Again, neither team will have to be, you know, it's not one of those games that it's a must-win game to get into the playoffs, because it's just not going to happen for either one of the teams. So, it's probably most of you and most fans will have difficulty just understanding how disheartening this is, because those of us who are diehard Packer fans, and we're still out there, but we're very disappointed to see that one of the pillars of the NFL is now become going from a lofty pillar of the NFL to a dysfunctional disaster. And, as I said, the offensive coordinator, Joe Philbin, is an interim head coach. Yes, I know there's some good head coaches out there, but to fit with the Packers, it'll be interesting to see who comes to the Packers next. Remember, we were spoiled. We had Holmgren, of course, as a kid, it was Lombardi. Brett Favre played under McCarthy for the first, I think it was the first 2 years that McCarthy was there. And then, of course, there was the fiasco, my view, this Pat Smith's view, that there was a fiasco over Brett Favre retiring. At the time, I did not like the way McCarthy handled it, or McCarthy and the crew handled it. Obviously, there was problems both sides, but what that indicated to me is that McCarthy was not a good negotiator. It was just handled so poorly. I think they pressured Favre into saying he was retiring too early. Certainly, they did not want to lose Rodgers, and we all recognize why. Even if we didn't recognize it at that time, we certainly recognize why. But if it couldn't have been handled, then it should have been handled a little bit better. Of course, when Rodgers first was drafted by the Packers, the Packers had no need for a quarterback. Favre was, doing well, seemingly indestructible, which he turned out to be. They didn't need a quarterback, but they had a reputation of taking the next best draft pick. And certainly they thought, and it's turned out to be true, that Rodgers was the next best draft choice. There was, many people were really surprised that he was still there. We all know that, the other quarterbacks on the draft that year, and it was surprising to many people who followed college football that Rodgers was not picked before some of the other quarterbacks. But in any event, came to Green Bay and sat on the bench and learned, and I think always felt that he was underrated and did everything possible to prove that that was wrong. And in fact, it was. I mean, I think that although it hasn't looked at this year, I really think that Rodgers is the best quarterback. I think he's a better quarterback than Brady. But he's not certainly the last game. He was looked pretty mediocre. It was not the fact that he didn't have receivers. I mean, he overthrew some balls. He did not look good in the last game. Of course, nobody did. So, one of the Demaryius Randall, who had been with the Packers the first 3 years of that he played, his comment was that they traded away all the good players and then expected Aaron Rodgers to just be magical. Well, I don't think that that's far from the point. I mean, they did trade away a number of players. In the middle of the season, of course, they traded Clinton Dix to Washington. And, of course, Ty Montgomery went to Baltimore. And Ty had not been living up to expectations. But I've always felt and have always complained that they should have signed Jordy Nelson. And especially because Jordy and Aaron seem to have a special relationship. You know, Jordy, yes, he was older. Maybe he was slowing down a little bit. But he always seemed to pull off those fabulous catches at least once during the game that ended up in a touchdown and the Packers winning. So I was, you know, very, you know, I was really disappointed when they let Jordy Nelson go. And there have been some other people that I've felt that they just let them go too early because they were seasoned players. They could play in the clutch. Not that they don't have some, you know, good young players. I mean, I think Jones is a real find. But, again, there are so many of these young players, and, you know, there have been so many injuries. But, you know what, the Packers, there are other players and other with injuries and other teams with injuries. And, you know, I was one of the people that I really felt that they should have picked up Peterson from the Vikings. And, yes, you know, he's a little bit older, but I thought that he would really fit well with the Packers. I know maybe I was the only person to think that, but, you know, I know the Packers were not happy when he went to Washington, and then they had to play him against him again this year. You know, and of course, Huntley was a disaster last year, but maybe he helped, you know, on the sidelines when the Packers played them this year. So, is what, you know, the Packers also had a new GM, Brian, I can't pronounce his name, Gutzenkirst or something like that. He replaced Ted Thompson. I always thought that Ted Thompson was a real find and really did so much for the Packers. And, of course, you know, with the new GM, what that, you know, did, and who knows. But the, you know, the Mike McCarthy, I've heard rumors that he may be courted or at least talking to the Jets, which will be very interesting. As I said, I've never been a Mike McCarthy fan, but he was definitely a good coach. I mean, he took them to the Super Bowl. You know, he, I think, was too conservative. I think that's what happened to him this year. He called, you know, conservative plays that, you know, I think lost them one game. You know, in other words, he didn't have any razzle-dazzle. I mean, one of the things, or he didn't have, usually, almost always, didn't allow them to have any razzle-dazzle. I noticed that especially when I was watching the game against the Patriots. First of all, the Patriots really are pretty amazing sometimes. But the other thing is the fact that they should have, you know, the Packers could have won that game. And there were some really good play calls, and by Belichick, not by McCarthy. So one of the things that Murphy has said in a statement, which is an understatement, that the 2018 season has, and this is a quote, has not lived up to the expectations and standards of the Green Bay Packers. As a result, I made the difficult decision to release Mike McCarthy of his role as head coach effective immediately. So that came right after the loss last week to Arizona. And Murphy at that point said he's in the process of hiring the next head coach, and that if he does, the head coach would begin immediately. So that, of course, would limit you know, hiring head coaches from other teams at this stage. So we, most of us know that McCarthy was in his 13th season as a coach, and they won the Super Bowl under McCarthy in 2010. And he finishes with a record of 125 wins, 77 losses, and two ties. You know, and then, of course, Murphy said that Mike has been a terrific head coach and leader of the Packers for 13 seasons, during which time we experienced a great deal of success on and off the field. Well, of course he's going to say that. And to a large extent, that's true. And the concern is that, you know, Brett Favre was a great quarterback. We've now been so lucky to have Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron can't carry the load himself. There's no question that, you know, he's a great quarterback, but he had to be incredibly frustrated. And I think at one point in one of the games, there were 12 rookies on the field. Now, granted, there have been a lot of injuries, but the Packers traditionally have not filled slots with players from other teams during the season. And I think in the last couple of years, they really needed to do much more of that. So this is the third straight year in which Green Bay has had extended struggles. And, of course, in 2016, the Packers started 4-6, and then they won 8 straight games to get to the NFC title game. And, of course, we all thought that would happen again. However, they could not win a single game on the road this year. And, of course, we had in 2016, we had that title game losing to the Atlantic Falcons. Kind of amazing that they're going to be the team that they play this week. And they're, you know, also been very mediocre, less than mediocre. So they, in 2017, they finished 7-9, missed the playoffs. And then, of course, that was when Aaron Rodgers missed extensive time with a broken collarbone. So, you know, they were given a bye for last year, obviously, because, you know, 2017, what could they expect? And they ended up, Huntley was certainly not one of the good quarterbacks as some of the other young quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks. So there was some shakeups, obviously, in the coaching staff, including bringing Philbin back as the offensive coordinator and hiring Mike Pettitin to replace Dom Capers as defensive coordinator. I was not totally surprised, but somewhat surprised that Mike Pettitin was hired to replace Dom Capers, who was such a long time and excellent defensive coordinator for so many years. So even though Aaron Rodgers hurt his left knee this year in the opener, you know, there were a number of other critical injuries, including Randall Cobb, who did come back in this last game, and Geronimo Allison. So, you know, especially Geronimo Allison. Well, no, actually both of them real a problem with the injuries. So, you know, to my mind, what was so frustrating this year was the lack of success in third down. I mean, you know, that is something that, you know, it was third and out, third and out, third and out, over and over and over again. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, there was that total lack of explosive plays. Granted, you can't have a Hail Mary in every game. But, you know, there was something really lacking this year. And it was especially troublesome because we thought that Rodgers would be out. I mean, when he left the game in the season opener against Chicago, we just thought, that's it. Here we go again, another year that we're going to have to be dealing with a backup quarterback. But he came back, and even despite the leg brace, played much better than anyone anticipated. So, you know, in watching this this game last week, Rodgers came on after the loss, and but before at least the public knew that McCarthy had been fired. And he was asked how much blame the offensive players should get if the Packers made a coaching change after the season. And, of course, that's what everybody was anticipating. And he acknowledged that the offense of players probably should get a lot of blame. And he acknowledged that they haven't been playing well. And they all, you know, and he acknowledged that they all take part in the disappointments and failures of the Packers this season. And despite the many opportunities they had, because it was true, they weren't getting blown off or blown out in most of the games that they lost. They were in the games. They should have been able to win the games. Of course, a couple of them they could have lost, too. Certainly could have lost against the Bears. And the tie against Minnesota should not have been. The Packers should have won that one. So Rodgers, you know, acknowledged the problems, but, you know, and what was really apparent is how often the Rodgers was not in the same page as the receivers. And, you know, they had wrong depth, protection, you know, and also, as I said, he acknowledged that they've messed up on third downs. So this past game, I would say that the opening play of the fourth quarter was a perfect example of the offensive struggles. There was Rodgers actually found Cobb, who was in the game, for a 36-yard completion on third and 11. But the play was wiped out by a holding penalty on the right tackle, Jason Spriggs. And didn't need, you know, that wasn't helping in that particular case. And Rodgers said his focus was getting his teammates to play with that pride and focus on the next four games. Well, I think that's going to be difficult to do since it's the end of their season and everyone knows it. I just hope that a number of rookies get to at least recognize that this will be experience, and, you know, they can hone their skills, and that some of the other players won't get so frustrated that they kind of, you know, just go out and walk through the game. Well, I mean, I guess Rodgers was also asked if he would have any role after the season with general manager Brian Gutekunst. Maybe you can pronounce it better than I can, but it's Gutekunst, or with Murphy about. So he was questioned whether he will have any role with them with respect to the direction they need to go with the coaching staff. But Rodgers was first to admit that the offensive players bear blame for whatever happened. And he said in the future, well, the future is already now. And, you know, they haven't been playing well. Rogers acknowledges it. The question is, how are they going to do it any better? And, you know, do they have to start thinking about making some, you know, taking on players, experienced players from, you know, other teams? That's not the way that the Packers have traditionally done things. So what else can we talk about in the way of games? I'm sure nobody is real interested in constantly hearing about the Packers. But as you can see, neither John nor Bill managed to get in. So what else? Some people are talking about the Packers and the fact that what they're paying Rodgers really is hurting them because of the cap. I don't know a lot about the way they structure the contracts, and about the only thing that I think might have been different, a different way to structure the actual four-year extension. I mean, we know that it's worth $134 million with a maximum potential of $180 million. And, of course, it includes a $103 million guarantee and even $67 million before the end of this calendar year. So that vaults Rodgers over the $30 million dollar mark, which the Atlantic Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan received on a 5-year, $150 million extension he signed earlier this year. And at that point, he was the highest paid quarterback, and now Rodgers is the highest paid quarterback. And, you know, certainly neither of the teams, their ranking and their win losses certainly don't justify that kind of money. But that's what it was. And, you know, the caps, they're really, you know, gobbling up a lot of the cap money. So the prior to Ryan's deal, Kurt Cousins, when he signed his free agency deal, you know, he that was a $28 million per year that Minnesota gave him. And but $84 million of Cousins' contract was guaranteed, where compared to $103 million of Rodgers' contract. And so at the time, Rodgers had 2 years left on a 5-year, $110 million extension he signed in April 2013. Now, his new guaranteed extension is through 2023, when he will be 40 years old during that season. I mean, you know, I really think Rodgers could play well until he's 40. As long as he's not injured, he needs more protection. You know, he's certainly competitive. I think that will be a real, give him a real edge. I mean, I think he plays his heart out. So that question about the cap, but certainly, you know, the Packers have to dig into their reserve fund to deliver the signing bonus and other guaranteed money based on, you know, based on the deals, because apparently the profit made in, the profit the Packers made in 2016-2017 was about $72.8 million, but that was when they received a $27.1 million from the NFL. So that was significant and didn't happen. As my understanding, that was something that didn't happen again, and they can't expect that to happen. So the past year, the Packers posted about a $38.6 million in net profits. But that's not going to cover entirely their expenses. And because what happened here is the Packers had to put all guaranteed money not included in the signing bonus in an escrow account. And therefore it was likely that they will have to draw on their reserve, which has, you know, of course, the reserve has been reported to have about $350 million in it. So, you know, as everybody said, the guarantee given Rodgers is not going to break the Packers. But the way the salary cap works, and one of these days I think we're going to have somebody come in and talk about it, how it works, because apparently the structure of the deal is what really matters greatly when you're dealing with a cap. And, of course, the Packers were $11 million under the cap prior to the Rodgers deal. But the $57.5 million signing bonus can be prorated over the six remaining years, which would mean that $9.58 million will be part of every year of this deal. So it is what it is, and you know, unfortunately, it's really tough at this time in the season not to have any hopes that your team is going to do well. But those of you who watched the game last night, really fascinating game. Of course, Mariota is hot and cold, but the you know, I don't know if there was the expectation that the you know, there were some plays that were really pretty fascinating, including the fact that the Titans were able to stop the Jaguars from making a touchdown, and then went back for the 99-yard run. That has to really be uplifting for a team. And, of course, you know, their predictions, I think universally were predictions that the Jaguars were going to win that. But they didn't. So that, and as I said, what's your game this weekend? Well, I mean, I think that the, from the NFC North, the most interesting game will be the Bears game. And, you know, that's something that, you know, not a happy situation. They, I think they have to play, I don't think they're playing the Rams at Soldier Field, but I honestly don't remember if that's an away game. But whatever, the Packers have to come into Soldier Stadium the following week. Always a tough game between the Bears and the Packers. I was very concerned after watching the first game based on the fact that Khalil Mack was unbelievable in the first half and seemed to just get tired out in the second half. I was impressed with Treblinski, and I think he's obviously he's proven that, you know, he's really proven himself this year. Coach, it looks like, you know, good coaching, you know, enthusiastic, well, obviously always enthusiastic Bear fans. That will be a factor, and it would be a factor any year. And, of course, the Packers are up by a couple games over the Bears. There was for years, actually they went back and forth, and a couple of years ago they were tied in the number of wins that they had each won over those long, you know, rivalry. That's one of the earliest in the NFL. Of course, back when the Packers were playing the Bears, there were teams like the Beloit Fairies. Can you imagine today having a team named the Beloit Fairies? But the old, you know, part of that rivalry and also part of the respect between the two games, or excuse me, between the two teams, goes back to George Halas. Going back into Packer history, George Halas actually saved the Packers at one point. You know, these were hard scrabble teams, Acme, and the Packers. I mean, people still say, well, how in the world do they, you know, have a name like the Packers? I mean, most people, you know, most teams are, you know, Giants or, you know, Redskins or Patriots or, you know, makes sense. And what happened? How Green Bay, well, we know that they came from Green Bay, really a small venue with incredibly loyal fans. But Packers, where did that come from? Well, it came from their sponsor, and the sponsor was the Acme Packers, a meatpacking plant. And so that's how the Packers got their name. And, of course, if you don't know how their field was named, you know, we see all these fields named after, you know, corporate sponsors, you know, but in fact, the Packer team was named after Curly Lambeau, this incredible early coach and, you know, just, again, one of these legends. And that's the thing. I mean, the Packers have a lot of legends, have a lot of, you know, huge players. I'm back when Lombardi came, you know, I grew up with the Packer players, so some of my earliest memories were the players that, you know, were great under Lombardi. And the thing that seems to be pretty fascinating, at least to me, is the fact that most of those players were on the team the year before when they had a 1-11 record. And Lombardi did not come in and get rid of all of the team and start new and, you know, went on to legendary success because he somehow picked all these new players who were so much better. No, actually what happened is he took that same 1-11 team and always had a winning season. From then on, always had a winning season. And, of course, became legendary because of the playoff games, the first, didn't even call it a Super Bowl, the first one and the second one. At that point, I think it was probably around the third Super Bowl that it was named Super Bowl. But that was always the legend of the Packers. And then, of course, there was that deep, there was a deep decline in the 80s where they were really the floor mats. You know, that was back when somebody like Scooter McLean was the head coach for, what, maybe a year? Maybe was it 2 years? 1 or 2 years. And there were a number of others that, frankly, I don't even remember their names. That's how poor they were. And it was, you know, Packer fans were loyal, though. I mean, that's one of the things that Packer fans were also loyal. And, you know, still continue to go to see the games. And, you know, this, you know, but there wasn't a whole lot of pride in the Packers at the time. But that's also happened with the University of Wisconsin football. They've had some great years and they've had some really mediocre years. And, of course, this was a very disappointing year especially when Hornibach was injured and out, and didn't realize what a factor he was in that football. So if John and Bill were here, they would talk to you more about what's happening in hockey. At this point, I really only follow the juniors and the kids who are playing in the teams and are recruited out of high school. So I can't even tell you what's happening currently. Talked to somebody the other day who was an avid soccer player, and again, you know, we probably should get someone on this program to talk about some of the soccer matches, and of course the soccer is becoming much more important, and so that's going to be about the end of the sports guys. Sorry that John and Bill didn't make it, and you had me droning on all day or all program. So hope you, you know, tune in next week, and hopefully both of them will be back, and we'll be talking about, well, we'll certainly be talking about the Cowboy-Eagle game no matter what happens. And one of the teams is going to be, you know, really pleased at the outcome, and one isn't. And, of course, those of you who know my idiotic family, we have Dave and I are diehard Packer fans, and our daughter Sue and one of her children are rabid Cowboy fans. And, of course, the two other children, her two other children, are Eagle fans. So that, you know, horror of horrors in that household when they're trying to watch games together. And, you know, they need a referee. So in any event, look forward to next week and having John and Bill back. Good night. Take care. Enjoy the weekend, because this may be the last one that you have some opportunity to go outside and do anything to decorate for the holidays if you haven't done it.
USA Radio News.
Federal prosecutors in New York are suggesting that Michael Cohen, the president's longtime personal attorney, serve a substantial term of imprisonment for crimes he pleaded guilty to in August, including campaign finance violations. As far as all this talk that Cohen was cooperating with the FBI in the investigation, Chris Wecker was assistant director of the FBI. He tells Fox News,
I don't think Mueller really had a lot of interest in him. I think he was trying to get the attention of the special counsel and try to get a sweetheart deal, but I don't think Mueller views him as a credible witness.
Former FBI Director James Comey was testifying on Capitol Hill. Republicans are crying foul over the fact that a lot of questions were not answered due to the fact that a government lawyer interfered. Comey was asked about this after his testimony.
Why don't you read the transcript, and I think you will not see that happening.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey guys, Ken here from the hit podcast, Today's Growth. Who would win a 3-mile bicycle race, an 11-year-old girl or last year's winner of the Tour de France? It all depends on the bicycle. It depends on their vehicle. Both on a 10-speed and the pro racer is going to win every time. But put the racer on a tricycle and the 11-year-old wins every time. You see, it's not the driver, it's the vehicle. When it comes to generating revenue, it's exactly the same. If you have a job or a small business, you are riding a tricycle. You can only go so fast. If you need to make up lost ground, it's not going to happen on a tricycle. No matter how fast you pedal, it's simply not going to win the race. Why do many people with no schooling and no advanced degree often become very wealthy? Simple. They choose to only ride 10 speeds. When it comes to helping people create their next revenue model, both Forbes and Inc. recommend Income Store as a can't-miss when it comes to putting people on a 10-speed. Could your household or business use an additional revenue model that doesn't solely depend on you? If so, you need to check out IncomeStore.com. That's IncomeStore.com.
President Trump has an announcement regarding a new attorney general.
Bill Barr will be nominated for the United States Attorney General position. I think he will serve with great distinction.
Have so much care and concern for the piece from start to finish. Doesn't seem like you found anybody that you can trust that will take on that same role.
No. Okay.
each piece that I design and do, I make it challenging on purpose. I push myself, looking through my pieces, and if they were dated, right, you can see some kind of evolution of difficulty, I guess you could say, in manipulation of the wood. And I specialize in bending wood. So anything that you see that's bent or curved, I've bent it. So it's not only taking a solid chunk of wood and carving something out of it, it's taking it and doing what I want with it and allowing the grain to flow through the piece rather than stop at a joint. And it's also more, it's structurally stronger when you have the grain, flow through a piece.